my cousin Trevor Riley with us here on the Bill and OC Show. Trev, how are you?
Hey, great to be on. How you been?
You know, I've been good. How have you been? How was life in the league as a rookie?
Oh, it was great. Besides the losing, it was fun. It was a dream come true to be able to reach the NFL and to actually play and participate and contribute. Was just icing on the cake, but I had a great time. Obviously, outside the losing, we had the season, but it was an awesome experience.
I would guess, just from a standpoint of making a team, getting on a team, being able to play, get into some game action, collect that check, and just kind of realize what, you know, finally kind of get compensated and realize the dream that you've been striving for so many years had to be so satisfying for you.
It was, man. I mean, it was a long road for me. You figure I got in the league 8 years after I graduated high school. Went the hard way through college with family. So to finally, like you said, get some money in my pocket and also be able to do the thing that I love, it was awesome.
What was the biggest adjustment to you? You were a very late round pick. The Jets pick you up and they sign you and you make the team. When you're drafted that late, there isn't always a lot of hope for that guy to make it. It's a long shot anyway, but it's an even longer shot. But, you know, what was life like for you, and what was maybe, whether it was an OTA, whether it was training camp, whether it was the first game, what was the biggest eye-opener for you?
When we got into fall camp, I mean real training camp, I kind of thought that something happened. I played well in the first two special games, and I really started to think, you know, that this can be a reality here. I can make this team. I think I have the ability to be play and contribute. I had a good game against Cincinnati. I had a good game against Indianapolis, and we had two more games left in the preseason. In the last game of the preseason, I actually played the entire game on defense and special teams. And at that point going forward, I was pretty confident I was going to either make the team, or if I wasn't going to, that somebody else would pick me up because I had put out good film. So even though I was still a pick, I think going in, I consider myself a steal for what they got me at, what I was projected. I think the age kind of hurt me and some of the injuries I had, but I stayed healthy, and I think the Jets were happy with what I was able to do, and so was I.
What was it like playing for Rex Ryan? Are you there, Trev?
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little bit better now. It was cutting out just a little bit, so it's a little bit better now. I just asked you, what was it like playing for Rex Ryan? I think we on the outside have this perception of what Rex Ryan is like, but you played for the guy, and obviously he's gone now, and he got rehired by Buffalo, but what was Rex Ryan like?
He was awesome, man. Ultimate players coach. He had the player's best interest at heart. And the ultimate goal is to win, and I think he got everything out of all the players as far as effort. I mean, people say we were the best 4-12 team of all time. We were in every single game this season, with the exception of two games. They could have gone either way. So it really could have been, I look at the season, it could have been a 12-4 season just based on a few plays every game. That the ball didn't go our way. I kind of look at it similar to my senior season. We were in every game. We couldn't close out a few of the games, and it was very, very similar. But Rex was an option.
Trevor Riley with us here on the Bill and OC Show this afternoon. New York Jets outside linebacker. We're having a couple of phone issues with Trevor, so Gore put him on hold for just a second. We're going to see if we either redial him, Gore, get him back on, or we'll see what we can do to get a hold of him, but we'll see if we can get him back here in just a second and see how that goes. Trevor is part of this Sundance film project that I've been telling you guys about. I told you about it on Friday for the first time. I'm actually part of it, too. They use some of my voice work. It's a movie that's going to be at Sundance and debuting Friday night. It's called In Football We Trust, and it's a documentary on how football has impacted the Polynesian community and how the Polynesian community has impacted football in the United States. And it centers on some guys that have local ties. So we'll talk about some of that with Trevor coming up here in a minute, who's back with us here on the Bill and OC Show this afternoon. I think we got a little bit better connection now, Trev. So before we talk about
Bill, sorry about that. I'm in Mexico, and the hotel here is I'm not getting good reception. I'm in Cabo San Lucas. That's probably why I'm breaking up a little bit.
Well, now you've made me envious, because I'm in Salt Lake City, and it's it's 40 degrees right now. What's your standing with the Jets right now? Are they expecting you back next year? Do you have any idea what your status is moving forward?
Good question. Right now, I'm looking to be back early April for OTAs. I haven't spoken with the new coach or the new GM, but most of the moves, if any, will be made after the Super Bowl. So I'm a Jet at least until the Super Bowl, and then after that, we'll see what happens. But I plan on being back in New York early April to get going for the next season.
Were you healthy all year long? I mean, everybody gets bumps and bruises in football. That's just the nature of the beast. But last couple of years, you've kind of had to deal with injuries. How healthy were you this year?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, this is a 20-game season for me when you include the preseason. I sprained my MCL against Denver about week 8, so I missed 2 games for that. So I actually only played 14 regular season games, but the injury is not bothering me now. I didn't have to have surgery. I'm fine. It was just they had to hold me out for 2 weeks.
So you had a great time in your first year. What was it like living and playing in New York?
Well, New York's awesome to visit. As far as living, I lived in New Jersey, which is okay. I mean, Jersey is Jersey. You hear that all the time, but it was fun. I mean, we had a great facility. My family was out there with me. It was fun. New York City's awesome. It's kind of like Los Angeles, just a big city you can go into and get anything you want out of that place. So it was cool.
What was it? Did you have any of those surreal moments, Trevor, when you're on the field and you're looking across the field and there's guys that you've been watching play football? I mean, week 16 of the season, you guys darn near beat the New England Patriots. Did you have any surreal moments where you're looking across the field and there's Tom Brady?
Yeah, good question, man. I remember we were playing Denver in the 18th or 19th season. So, I mean, shoot, I was 9 years old when he got into the NFL. And we had them on the ropes, man. We were one play away from beating them. And I was on the field on defense, and I got to make a tackle on one of the plays, and it was just kind of a cool experience to be involved with playing against a guy like Peyton Manning, who's done it well for so long.
I remember one of the last times I talked to you toward the end of last year. It was probably around draft time. We were talking about this year's Utah football team, and you said, hey, this team's in good hands. We were darn close to winning a lot of games. We were just inches away. You really liked the team coming back, especially on the defensive side of the football. I guess you kind of knew what you were talking about, Trev, because this was one of the better defensive teams Kyle's had. Might be the best defensive team Kyle's had in a long, long time. And this team was markedly better this year. I don't know how much you were able to watch. I'm sure you were able to keep track via social media and other stuff. But what'd you make of the season this past year and where the program is moving forward?
Well, I think 3 distinct moves were made on the defensive side of the football that I wish we would have made my senior year. We kind of talked about it, but based on personnel issues, it wasn't a right fit. Eric Rowe moved to corner. Huge, huge, big thing. Kevin Carter got eligible. Another big thing. And then they moved Dominique Hatfield over to corner. So just those 3 moves right there, they changed the entire output of the defense, I think, because we brought back a lot of the same guys in the front 7, with the exception of me and Tenney. So you're talking about 2 or 3 positions in the defensive backfield that just completely changed everything. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year. It'll be interesting to see who's running the defense, actually, but it'll be interesting to see who takes over that corner spot then, now that Eric's gone and now that Tevin's going to be gone, I think.
I'll be real honest. I want your feedback on this. How big a loss from just an – I'm not even talking about recruiting because we know that's a loss, but how big a loss from a day-in and day-out and call on the defense standpoint will Kalani Sitake be for Utah?
Oh, huge, man. I mean, he's a great coordinator. I remember – our first year in the Pac-12, we led the Pac-12 in defense. I mean, who does that coming from the Mountain West? So Kalani and Coach Witt also, it's his system that Kalani's been able to tweak and do things to. But the play calling and the preparation during the week, it will be greatly missed. And me personally, I'd like to see Morgan Scally take over that spot. But like I said, I don't know who it's going to be, but I think he should be able to do it if he gets called upon.
I'll tell you, you knew that Nate was going to have a big year. You told me that. You thought he was ready to explode, and he absolutely did. I'll tell you, one of the guys that was an eye-opener and a guy that was a revelation was Hunter Demick. Hunter Demick had 10 sacks this year, and I think he had 12 tackles for loss, and he played hurt a lot of the year. That kid was fantastic.
Oh, I mean, he's an animal, and I think I actually was talking to him a few weeks or last week at the we went and watched the national championship game and some of the old players and some of the current players. I told him, I said, hey, you got a real chance to go to the NFL, man, with your body type and the way you play. He reminds me of a guy 49ers named Justin Smith. I could see him getting up 285, being a 3-4 defensive end, 4-3-3 technique, and really doing some things in the NFL. So I hope he has a great season next year and he gets a shot.
Hey, I don't want to keep you too much longer on your vacation, and as long as we've got this phone connected, we're tied in with this new documentary that's going to be at Sundance this week called In Football We Trust. And I know that you're kind of on board with this as well. You've got people you know that are part of this film. Give our listening audience an idea of what you're doing with In Football We Trust and what you think of the project so far.
Well, In Football We Trust is going to be one of those documentaries like Hoop Dreams. I don't know if any of you listeners out there ever got a chance to see Hoop Dreams, but it was about high school kids from Chicago playing basketball, African-American kids. It's about Polynesian kids playing football, which is the dominant sport in the Polynesian culture, and just through high school and into college. And you'll see a lot of the cultural things that go along with it, and not only that, but the football aspect. And I played with a few of these guys. So I'm actually on the film a few times playing in games and stuff like that. But as far as what we're doing with it, we're having some charity events. We're having a Strikes for Scholarships things where sponsors can pay to bowl with an NFL player like myself or Haloti Ngata, Terrell Suggs, Derek Shelby, Kyle Van Noy. And the money will go to scholarships to help with Polynesian kids in the Utah area. So we're trying to raise money for that and also let everybody have a good time.
Yeah, and by the way, that charity bowling event is going to be at Jupiter Bowl in Park City on Sunday. And if you're interested in bowling with guys like Trevor or Haloti or Derek Shelby or Terrell Suggs or Kyle Van Noy, you can do that. Here's what you got to do to get your tickets. Go to mysoulpro.com or contact Sean Kimball at infootballwetrustevents@gmail.com. Larry King's going to be in town emceeing the event. There's VIP tickets. There's general admission tickets. And it's all going to take place up at Jupiter Bowl. This sounds like a really cool event. It basically sounds like a lot of those charity golf tournaments, but this is in the wintertime during Sundance, and so you guys are all going to be bowling.
Yeah, well, this is going to be one of the premier events there. I think there's also going to be some other celebrities that show up. So don't be surprised if you see some A-list celebrities in Hollywood that make an appearance. So it's going to be awesome.
Well, hey, you enjoy the rest of the time in Cabo. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but if you're back in town, we'll catch up again real soon. Like I said, one of my favorite people that I've ever covered at Utah, and I couldn't be happier for your success. Get a little tan, and I'll see you real soon, okay? Thanks, Trev.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Trevor. Trevor Riley with us this afternoon.